10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome back to Radio Law Talk, second hour. I'm Todd Kunin, filling in for Fred Penny, who's on assignment. To my right, in her throne of prominence, sitting on that, the Iron Throne of prominence, there's a Game of Throne reference. Yes, Denise Cersei Lannister Dirks. I don't know. She might not like that that nickname. Did you see Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Okay, Daenerys. okay, so Denise, how you doing?
I'm good.
Good.
Is Daenerys the one with the dogs?
No, Daenerys was the one with the dragons. She was the...
Oh.
The blonde lady that flew in? All I saw was the
Khaleesi.
Clips. I've never seen
Khaleesi.
The show.
She was one that couldn't burn. She was She was immune to fire.
Ooh, that'd be nice.
And
especially in Northern California.
Well, yes. She was a Targaryen. She had three dragons that she raised. That she was
a Targaryen?
Mother of dragons.
Denise, he knew Targaryen.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, okay. Well,
fine.
Well, if you've seen Game of Thrones, you know the Targaryen name. And then there's Cal Hunter. Cal?
I know nothing of Game of Thrones except the blonde girl sitting on the dragon. That's all I know.
That was Daenerys Targaryen.
Well, there you go. I rest my case. That's all I got.
Yes. That was the spoiler to let you know Jon Snow was a Targaryen when the dragon was like kind of hip to him, because dragons only are friendly with Targaryens. So anyway, I digress.
Who knew?
Welcome to Radio Digression Talk. Denise, if they want to chime in. Look, we're going to do another case or no case here. So, folks, listen to the case or no case that Cal's going to get set up here in just a moment. And if you think that you have an answer that you would like to chime in and let Cal know what you think the outcome of that case is, feel free to call. The number is
855-LAW-RADIO. That's 855-529-7234.
Yeah, I'd be happy to hear your opinions to see, you know, have you chime in? Look, subtly, I just want to increase the number of witnesses that are duped by Cal's treachery and his false witness bearing.
Hey.
You know?
It's getting worse, Denise.
He's a very gifted storyteller.
I'm a treacherous false witness bearer. That's
yes, he is. He is. Yes.
Okay, fine.
So go ahead, Cal, and why don't you go ahead and get us with this next case or no case?
I don't know. All right.
Now it's time to play case or no case.
Yay!
He was a clerk named Harrison Sevier. He worked as the registrar of records in Helena, Montana, for the state. Everything was fine until Chance Cooper came in to find his mom and dad's marriage certificate from 30 years ago, which is, by the way, the same time Harrison Sevier started his job at the Hall of Records. Sevier looked and looked and looked, and all he could find was a record of divorce for the couple in question, filed on the day they were supposedly married. Clerk Harrison Sevier had checked the wrong box on that fateful day. So now what? Sevier sheepishly went out to Cooper and admitted to the error, and Cooper was not amused. He said, "Wait, you mean my parents have not had a legitimately recorded marriage, and I was born as an illegitimate child of theirs? Wait a minute, what's going on? My dad's going through his estate planning right now, and if I am," and Sevier interrupted him and said, Now, Mr. Cooper, I'm sure we can work this out." Cooper was not assuaged. And ran assuaged, hard for me to say. Say the word, Todd. Assuaged.
Assuaged.
Thank you. And ran to his family, what he thought was his family lawyer, and said, "Wait a minute, what are my choices? I want to know if I have a case or no case against Mr. Sevier and his employer, the state of Montana, for this genealogical mess up." And Todd, I think you go first on this one. Case or no case, my friend.
Okay, all right. Now, listen, so I'm wondering, I want to know what the backstory is here. Because the only way that I can think that somebody would be really concerned about the clerical error and what seems to be ripe for an easy fix. Yeah, I checked the wrong box. We've got all the photos from the wedding and all this kind of stuff showing this was the day they got married, how could it be the day they were divorced? They're still married. They've held themselves out as a married couple ever since and all that. So it seems like issuing a marriage certificate that was correct would be easy to do.
It would seem.
It would seem that way. The only reason I can think that Chance is upset is because maybe he was kind of a jerk and he's afraid, and he's a jerk to his parents the whole time, and he was afraid, oh my gosh, they may have found a loophole whereby I am 86 from the whole
thing. They were looking for one. Now look at this.
Because the marriage license and the marriage certificate that's on file with the county is a duplicate of what's given the people, right?
But they couldn't find theirs.
They couldn't find theirs. Yeah. But my guess is when they got their marriage certificate originally, right? You'd think they would have looked at it and go, holy Toledo, this is divorced.
Well, I want to remind you, this was at the State Hall of Records that this took place, not the county. So it goes at the county, and then it's recorded at the state. So that's how this all took place.
All right.
So just want to remind you of that.
So the whole thing I'm going to say is no case. I think it's a scenario, but I'm going to say no case because I think this guy's going to go to any lawyer who's going to say, yeah, as a public servant and the public entity, they have immunity in these cases. You can't sue them for negligence. This was an honest mistake. By the way, your damages are almost nil because there's an easy remedy for it. You just get it fixed. You don't have a huge cause of action because of a typo, and nobody was harmed. Nobody has any damages as a result of this. Just go and get the modified one, have the guy, the clerk, fill out an affidavit saying he improperly selected the wrong box. Here's the corrected birth certificate or the corrected marriage certificate in the Hall of Records. It's done. Scenario, but no case.
Denise, what are your thoughts on this?
I think it's an interesting thought. I think it's very creative.
Thank you.
And I had something similar to that happen. In Nevada, when somebody was trying to get married, and a mistake was made. Is there a cause of action for that? No, because they can easily fix the problem. Will the clerk have to get a court order? Maybe. That's a possibility. So that could potentially be the case, but I don't think that Chance actually has a cause of action against the clerk or the state because he's not illegitimate just because the marriage certificate was, had a typo in it or whatever. Had a
faux pas.
Yes. So I'm going to say that this is not a case.
Perhaps the best evidence that he was illegitimate was the name they chose to give him, Chance. we took a shot. We rolled the dice. What are the odds?
Well, what I like about listening to you too, how you figure everything out. You go down every lane here. You go through all of it, and you think, I think we got this one. Well, I have some. Let's see. Who said it was no case? That would be Todd.
I said it was no case.
And, Denise, both of you. Oh, well. Oh, man. So, guess what?
Oh.
It was a case.
Oh, brother.
And as Denise pointed out, he did have to go to court and get a court order. And so the case was that the judge said, State of Montana, you will pay all of the legal fees. You'll get this whole mess straightened out. And, therefore, Chance doesn't win any damages. But he does get the matter resolved at no cost to him. And that was that.
See, here's the problem that I have with that resolution.
What?
It required a court to order the state to do what the state should have clearly recognized was their obligation and not make him jump through all those hoops.
Right, but the state laws required the hoop jumping. That was the point. And he didn't want to pay for it.
Yeah.
You get that, yeah.
So all right. Who filed the suit? Chance did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, of course, yeah. The parents, I don't know if they even knew. Probably didn't even tell him. No, yeah, he did that. According to the story that I have. We'll be back with more Radio Law Talk right after this next hour, a celebrity edition of Case or No Case you won't want to miss. Stay tuned.
announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
I've got to get my car washed. This dirt, it just won't do.
The best thing about Quick Quack Car Wash is whenever you go through, the smell in your car is always great, and they have super fun lights and colors.
But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Your car smells good and it's clean at Quick Quack Car Wash.
Man, I know this place right down the road.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Get the Quick Quack confidence.
Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this cat and shine.
Get the Quick Quack habit. Take a car once a week.
Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show.
I like Quick Quack because of the mascot, Quackles.
Come on, Quick Quack Car Wash.
So we sell unlimited membership for per vehicle. You can add a family plan and add an additional vehicle at a discounted rate.
Don't drive that dirty car. Quick Quack Car Wash.
Do you want to know the secret to putting extra money back in your pocket? Then switch your car insurance. And now you can make one phone call and shop dozens of insurance companies. Just like buying airline tickets, where it's easy to make one call that has all the best deals. We have great deals with most of the major top-rated insurance companies. We are your superstore for car insurance. We've switched people from their expensive car insurance plans and saved them hundreds of dollars a year. If you think you're paying too much for your car insurance, call now. It's easy to switch, and in 5 minutes, yes, just 5 minutes, you'll learn how much money you can save on your car insurance. Save yourself some money this year. Call now for your car insurance. Call E-Insurance now for your free car insurance quote. 800-251-0427. 800-251-0427. 800-251-0427. That's 800-251-0427.
Do you run a business and want to learn how you can get between $10,000 to $5 million in 60 seconds? We're Biz2Credit, a top-rated online financing provider to hundreds of thousands of America's business owners. If your business does at least $120,000 a year in gross sales, we can get you more money to run your business in as little as 72 hours. Our terms are simple, repayment plans are flexible, and based on your cash flow. Plus, the paperwork is minimal and the approval process is fast. So in the time you've listened to this commercial, you could have learned if you qualify to get up to $5 million in cash deposited to your business bank account in the next 2 to 3 days. Funding specialists are ready to take your call right now and get you the money you need, fast. Call 800-559-5523. That's 800-559-5523. Again, 800-559-5523. Call now.
What's your IRS problem? Do you owe back taxes? Is there a lien placed on your property? Have your bank accounts been frozen or seized? Have your wages been garnished? Are you being audited by the IRS? Are they sending you letters that demand actions and have urgent due dates? Well, solving your tax problems is as easy as calling Taxes 321. The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. You need the best representation to give you peace of mind. You need experienced professionals that can cut through the red tape and stop the collection process. If you have a serious problem with the IRS, call the Taxes 321 Network today. We'll get them off your back.
800-738-0170. 800-738-0170. 800-738-0170. 800-738-0170.
Sit down, shut up, and listen.
Things have gotten out of hand with our friend again.
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
You know, Cal, every time you play that soundbite where she says, sit down, shut up, and listen, I have a flashback to
me
being married.
I was going to say, for me, it was Sunday school. Well, anyway.
Sit down. All right. Well, all right. So at the end of last hour, we said after Case and No Case, we'd get back to this Idaho murder case and what's new. And here's where things stand, all right? So The affidavit that was sent to justify the arrest to raise the probable cause standards, about 18 pages long. And look, that kind of spelled out probably the bulk of the prosecution's case against Koberger, saying, look, this is our guy. And the defense has had to digest that. They've had to do their own investigation and have now, in the last week, come up with what they say is an alibi defense based upon the location that they claim they're able to show of his cell phone at various times when the murder was committed. And the first reaction from the family is, this can't hold water because what they're saying that the cell phone was pinging off different cell towers when the affidavit in support of the warrant says that his phone had been turned off, okay? It says they suspect that it had either been turned off or put into airplane mode such that his phone was not pinging off of anything. That's what their statement is, okay? Now, I heard that. And the defense attorney side of me, Denise, you always say this. You always say this, you know, because I'm doing personal injury and stuff. He said, do you miss doing criminal defense work? Yes, because I read that and all of a sudden I got red flags and fireworks and bells and whistles and alarms going off inside my head saying, whoa, 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 I don't think that's what the affidavit said. So I went back and I read it. This is what the affidavit says. The affidavit says that about 2:45 in the morning on the 13th of November, Brian Koberger's cell phone pinged off of cell towers that were near Koberger's house in Pullman, Washington. And then along sometime around 2:47, that's the last ping that they get, and that they get no other pings in that area or on any of the cell towers between Pullman, Washington, and Moscow, Idaho. In fact, the next ping that they get from his cell phone is when it pings off a cell tower in Blaine, Idaho, which is to the south of Moscow. And here is the problem. And so the police officer says, based upon my training experience, I know that when people go to commit crimes, they often turn off their phones or put them into airplane mode so that they don't ping. And that's why there is no ping on the cell phone towers between these two areas. Here's the problem with that conclusion. It's not saying that the phone wasn't pinging off any cell phone tower. It's saying that the phone wasn't pinging off cell phone towers that existed between Pullman, Washington, and Moscow, Idaho.
There may not be any. That's a remote area.
That's one. It's a remote area.
Right.
The second thing is, do you know how you get tower data?
Isn't there some kind of phone activity?
You don't get it from the phone.
Right. You have to.
You have to identify the cell phone tower in an area, go and get the number off the cell phone tower, and then do a subpoena for that cell phone tower to the carrier that put up that cell phone tower to see which phones were pinging off of this cell phone tower at that time. Well, if you only submitted for cell phone towers that were in that area, and if Brian Koberger was never in that area, obviously it's going to say, yeah, his phone never pinged off of these. What you don't have from the affidavit is, yeah, and we got the information from all of the cell phone towers in and around the area, on, you know, 10-mile radius, whatever, and it didn't ping on any of those either. That the affidavit doesn't say that. The affidavit says it wasn't anything here, but then he pinged off a cell phone tower down that services Blaine, Idaho.
Well, I have a theory, too.
Go ahead.
I think that he's going to claim he was in Wawawai Park, and that there is no cell phone towers around that park at all, and that is his reason why it wouldn't have pinged anywhere, because he was in a park where there were no cell phone towers and it was quite remote. And remember, he likes to jog at night. He likes to run. He likes to hike. He apparently doesn't sleep well. And he does a lot of nighttime activity. And that's something I don't think is false. I think that that's probably true.
Running, walking, killing.
Exactly. No. Yeah, he's a pretty active guy, right? So I actually think that that centers around their alibi because the defense attorney was very specific in saying that he would be in areas south Pullman, Washington, west of Moscow, Idaho, including Wawawai. I am not saying it right.
Is it Owyhee Park? Is it O-W? Is
it's, that? No, it's W-A. So Wawawai.
Yeah, W-A-W-A-W-A-I, Wawawai.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wawawai. Yeah.
It's Elmer Fudd's park. Wawawai.
And because they mentioned that park specifically, I think that's where the alibi is going to be centering around.
Because here's the thing. If the defense information shows pinging off cell phone towers that are nowhere near Moscow, Idaho, or specifically King Road in Moscow, Idaho, that's a great defense. And why? And the family's upset. Well, how come it took so long? It takes a long time to get that information from cell providers.
Obviously, they weren't as thorough as they should have been in the blanket search they did of the cell towers.
That's right.
Well, we assume that because of the affidavit.
Right.
We don't really know that. We won't know that until the trial.
Oh, we know it.
You know, and the other thing, that one of the victims was watching TikTok as of 2:14 a.m., and they're saying he left at 4:20, so he had to do all of these murders in six minutes.
And by the way, that was a lot of work.
I thought there was another interesting point. Yeah. Somebody ordered food.
DoorDash was delivered at 4 a.m.
Wow.
And there's been nothing in the affidavit saying, well, the DoorDash driver's car can be excluded. We'll talk more when we come back. Don't go away.
Radio Law Talk.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family, take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-283-6730. 800-283-6730. 800-283-6730. That's 800-283-6730.
Do you run a business and want to learn how you can get between $10,000 to $5 million in 60 seconds? We're Biz2Credit, a top-rated online financing provider to hundreds of thousands of America's business owners. If your business does at least $120,000 a year in gross sales, we can get you more money to run your business in as little as 72 hours. Our terms are simple, repayment plans are flexible, and based on your cash flow. Plus, the paperwork is minimal and the approval process is fast. So in the time you've listened to this commercial, you could have learned if you qualify to get up to $5 million in cash deposited to your business bank account in the next 2 to 3 days. Funding specialists are ready to take your call right now and get you the money you need, fast. Call 800-559-5523. That's 800-559-5523. Again, 800-559-5523. Call now.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing. And now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now at 800-580-7703, 800-580-7703, 800-580-7703.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan or just not happy with what you're paying for? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate or at little or no cost to you? Your life needs are always changing, but have you done anything to improve your health insurance for you and your family? Health insurance laws and coverage are always changing and getting better. It's impossible to do all the research yourself, but now it's all done for you for free. So regardless of your age or medical condition, take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
Paid for by Cheaper Health Insurance. 800-635-7188. 800-635-7188. 800-635-7188. That's 800-635-7188.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4537. 802-341-4537. 802-341-4537. That's 802-341-4537.
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, I decided not to park here.
Well, what do you mean? You decided not to park here?
It's hard to be sure, sir.
Get off my lawn.
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
Denise went into the break. We're going to move on here to another one. We just want to finish up because we had talked one last thing about the door delivery.
Yeah.
In
that
Pullman.
Was interesting.
Yeah. So when you look at everything in the affidavit for the case in Pullman, Washington, among those things are the fact that one of the victims had ordered and accepted DoorDash, a DoorDash delivery at 4 o'clock in the morning. Now, they go to great lengths to identify this car that they believe was Koberger's car. They can't really say specifically, but they think it was a Hyundai Elantra, which is what he drove and stuff. They talk about how that car was pulling around and start parking here and then stopped. And it was all around the same time at this DoorDash delivery. And I'm looking at that going, look, I've seen DoorDash. I get DoorDash a lot. And I can see on my phone sometimes when you get a driver that isn't familiar with the area that I live in. It's just like that. Was it here? Is it here? They're driving around till they finally see my house, and then they go and they do the delivery. But there's nothing in the affidavit specifically that says what kind of car the guy was driving for DoorDash that specifically excludes him. Was it even close to a Hyundai Elantra? So you got that delivery. The affidavit also said that that same victim, they know, was on their phone accessing and looking at TikTok as of 4:14 a.m., arguably eating the food that they had just gotten. And then the next thing is they say this Elantra that they claim Koberger was seen leaving the neighborhood at 4:20 a.m. So these four murders on that timeline would have occurred after a DoorDash driver had just left and sometime between 4:14 and 4:20 a.m., 6 minutes, the same amount of time that our, what, bottom of the hour break that we just finished took. Four murders were committed. That's their argument. I think they have going to have a tough time proving that, especially with this alibi data. What do you think, Denise?
I have no idea. I just found it interesting about the DoorDash and that somebody was awake. And And it may also help to explain why there was no break-in that occurred, because that's another big piece of this, was that they don't know how the person that did the murders got into the house, because there was nothing broken into. So it would appear that somebody let him or her in. And so I don't know. I'm excited to kind of see this play out.
I'm curious to see where it goes, Cal.
I also think the work of death, I'm sorry, I'm using a gruesome term, but the work of death for four people, you got to consider this was not a minimal effort, one poke and I'm out of here. This was a work of death. A lot happened in that time. So it'll be interesting to see how they can put that together.
But I think it had to be a short period of time, because there were other roommates there that heard things and did nothing. They did nothing. They didn't go check on their roommates. They didn't call the police. And they slept until the morning, and that's when they found out what had happened.
Now look.
That's odd to me.
What a weird awakening.
Now, that's not odd to me for this reason. The deceased included couples, right? And look, I had roommates in college, and if I heard a rustling going on at between 4:15 in the morning in another room, and even if I heard what was described as maybe sound of somebody like crying or something like that, and it's couples, I'm not getting out of bed to go investigate. You guys are either having an argument, or if I don't hear the crying, there's a necktie on the door. Yes, I do not disturb. That does not.
I mean, I totally get that. I agree with that.
That reminds me of one of my roommates. I come home and it's really late at night, and I hear her screaming, "You're killing me! You're killing me!" I go running into her room, and she was not getting killed.
She was not dead. Huh? Wow. Oops, sorry. My bad.
Hold on. Let me put on my perfectly innocent face. What was happening? What did you see, Denise? I'm perplexed.
It was not death.
It was not death.
Obviously, stayed with her for a while here.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay, great, great. So all of that to say that this doesn't seem as, shooting for the skies, that some harebrained idea on the part of the defense. I think that this is something that they had to curate get the information through the normal process. It takes a while to get it, and to make sure that it says what they think that it says before they go and they present it. And people might not like the timing of it, but technically they don't have to present it and turn it over to the other side if it's California until 30 days before the trial. So there you go. But we're going to shift gears from Washington. Idaho and Washington, down to the state of Arizona. And no, we're not talking about Chad Daybell.
Arizona.
Yeah. George Allen Kelly. This is, we're in week 3 now, I believe, of his trial. This is the Arizona rancher who is being charged with second-degree murder because of somebody who was crossing the border illegally, found dead on his property, and the theory of the prosecution. Well, the theory of the prosecution is that this was an intentional act or a highly reckless act, that he was shooting at him and the guy died and was found on the property. And, brother, we've talked a lot about it in the past, but there's some developments that have gone on this week, and the defense planning on calling the sheriff of the county. And Denise, why is the sheriff of the county's testimony being relied upon as a defense witness?
Well, he's clearly putting out there during the trial very prejudicial and biased information that implicates the defense. And basically saying that the culture along the border in Arizona is such that people just want to go out and shoot a Mexican,
yes.
Right? And it's got this attitude going. And he actually did a video of him in the area where the defendant lives and where the ranch is, and making claims about these outlaws that just want to go and shoot themselves a Mexican. And it's really, I don't know. I think that it is outrageous, and I almost think that there's going to be a motion for what's it called when it's a bad trial?
Mistrial. So the statements that he made were happened while the after the incident, while the case was pending. I don't think that the statements were made during the trial. But here's an example of what he said. Now, this was said in an interview with a YouTuber who's got 120,000 subscribers. And he says, and I quote, like, we had a rancher here that had been writing a fan fiction on Amazon, and he was describing himself hunting migrants with his AK-47. And he actually even used his name and his wife's name and his ranch's name, and that he came from somewhere else. And then we caught him out there actually shooting at some people, shooting at some migrants, killed one of them, and one of them got away. So now he's being prosecuted for homicide in the county. And he says, that's just an example of a guy with a mentality of, like, they come out here and they want to say, I'm going to go out to the wild, wild west and have a big old story to tell, and I'm going to go out there and hunt me some Mexicans. That was the sheriff's statement. And it's clear by context that he's talking about George Allen Kelly.
Right.
And here's the thing. He's being called as a defense witness. Now, this is a dangerous ploy by the defense. Look, if the prosecution ever proposed to have those statements read in, the defense would be jumping up and down if they didn't have a reason, saying, yes, cause for speculation. They don't know what he's saying, you know, lack of foundation, the whole ball of wax, because it's a story that tells the jury what the mental state of George Allen Kelly is. But the defense is the one calling this guy. George Allen Kelly's attorneys are the one calling this guy to come in and say that. And it's a dangerous ploy because you run the risk of the jury thinking, yeah, that's exactly what George Allen Kelly's mentality was. When the defense wants the jury to hear, no, this is the way George Allen Kelly was viewed by the head of a biased agency doing the investigation. And then they're going to support it by the manner in which we come back, the way that agency, the Sheriff's Department, went about interviewing the surviving migrant who claims he survived the shootout and watched his buddy get killed, how it happened, how the interview happened, where it happened, and the manner in which it was recorded. We'll talk about that when we come back, because it is odd.
You are listening to Radio Law Talk with Todd Kuenen and Denise Dirks. Now, the program will continue after we take a break. Don't go anywhere.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Learn how thousands of smart homeowners are investing about $1 to avoid expensive home repair bills. John, a former non-customer, said, "My air conditioner broke and I had to spend $1,900 to fix it." Jeff, a customer, wrote, "My air conditioner broke and I got a new one at no out-of-pocket cost." Mary, a former non-customer, wrote, "My heating system stopped running. I had to spend $3,000 to get a new one." Lisa, a customer, wrote, "My heater stopped working. I got it fixed at no out-of-pocket cost." For about $1 a day, you can have all the major appliances and systems in your home guaranteed fixed or replaced with HSC's home warranty coverage. Call now, and the first month is free. If the lines are busy, please call back.
Call now, 800-238-9182, 800-238-9182, 800-238-9182. Again, that's 800-238-9182.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
If you're one of those independent people who wants your own business and you love food service, we just might have a great opportunity for you. Iceberg Drive-Ins. Iceberg is famous for its thick shakes and delicious food. We lend you our supply chain and expertise, and you can potentially have a thriving, successful, fun business that your customers will love. Iceberg Drive-Ins has some prime areas available right now, so if you're interested, get in touch with us right away. Go to icebergdrivein.com and click on the Contact Us button. Iceberg Drive-In, ready to grow with you.
My name is Frederick Penny of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. I've assembled an excellent team of highly experienced personal injury trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. At Penny & Associates, we will aggressively represent you and your family when someone has been injured in an accident. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
For a free initial consultation, go to pennylawyers.com or call 1-800-616-4LAW and ask for Frederick, Stuart, Rob, Kevin, Kent, or Will. That's Frederick Penny at Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers, 1-800-616-4LAW.
I've got to get my car washed. This dirt, it just won't do. But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Man, I know this place right down the road. Quick Quack Car Wash. Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this cat and shine. Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show. Come on, Quick Quack Car Wash. Don't drive that dirty car. Quick Quack Car Wash. They'll have you looking sharp.
Attention Medicare recipients and anyone turning 65. Medicare has approved new benefits not included with original Medicare and older Medicare Advantage plans. You may not be getting all of the benefits you're entitled to, including in-home aids, telephone appointments with your doctors, home-delivered meals and prescriptions. These benefits may be available and it's a free call to enroll. The new plans may also offer free eyeglasses, free hearing aids, free wellness visits, and gym memberships. Call the Medicare benefits line now. It's easy. Call 800-559-6944, 800-559-6944. Find out if you're eligible for new benefits like meal and prescription delivery, in-home aids, and telemedicine. Some plans may have a $0 monthly premium or zero copays for big out-of-pocket savings. Not all Medicare Advantage plans are alike. The new plans have more benefits for many people. Call 800-559-6944, 800-559-6944. 800-559-6944.
What are we doing live? Echoes in eternity.
Oh, stop it.
Time to get back to Radio Law Talk on RadioLawTalk.com and on your favorite radio station.
All right, so back to the George Allen Kelly, the Arizona Rancher murder trial, and talked before we went into the break about the statements that the sheriff, the sitting sheriff Hathaway, made on a YouTube video. Now the YouTube video was filmed by a real estate agent, and he's talking about the area, and you kind of get the idea that the video for the real estate agent's purpose is a way to show people, yeah, this is a safe area. You can buy real estate. You can buy land here. The only people that do this stuff are the real wackos, and we're prosecuting, so it's safe. Come here, buy land, support our economy, right? And I don't know when the interview took place, but I know that according to the reports, that video was published on YouTube a little over a month ago. All right. So let me, let's see, what Daniel Ramirez. Here's why that name should be important in this case. Daniel Ramirez is the name of the witness who testified about a week and a half ago, and he claims that he was with the guy that got shot, that they crossed the border together, and that there was a hail of gunfire, that he decided to take off. They took off. They were going to, although he admitted that he had used that route to bring drugs into the United States before, they weren't doing it this time, and that he left. He wanted to go back and try to get into the country legally. That was his testimony. Now, no prosecutor is ever going to call somebody as a witness unless they have a statement that they got from him. And the manner in which the statement was procured from this witness is what is raising a lot of eyebrows. You think this interview took place inside a police station that was recorded? What do you think, Cal? Would that be good? Inside a controlled environment with a police station by trained investigators recorded? You could see what he had to say and all that?
That's what I'd want.
That's what I would want, too. No, yeah. That didn't happen here. Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, this guy He's been deported several times. He can't come back here. So maybe you'd think that, all right, you want to interview this guy, you'd contact the consulate in Mexico. You'd contact the local authorities. You'd set up a place down there. You go down there to interview him. You do that so that you had protection going down there because it where he was an area where there's a lot of cartel members. Doesn't that sound like it might make a lot of sense?
Yeah, not just protection, but permission.
Permission to do that.
You're dealing with another country. You have to have permission from the federal government.
Now, wouldn't it make sense to follow that procedure?
Or at least a secure Zoom call.
Yeah, absolutely. That would make sense. No, that's not how the interview took place.
Wow.
That's not how it took place. Nope. Last week, Detective Mario Barba, who did the interview, who testified to the statements made by this other person, Ramirez, Mario Barba testified, no, the sheriff and I just went down there on our own. Met the guy at a little cantina, a little bar. Took his statement. By the way, he speaks Spanish. So we took the statement in Spanish. Did you record this? No, didn't record it. I just took notes. In fact, the sheriff told me that if I tried to record the statement, it might inhibit the guy from talking. So just go ahead and take notes because we want him to talk. And those were the circumstances in which this individual's statement was taken. No permission from any governmental authority, no notice to the consulate, going to an area that is pretty dangerous to go in by yourself to interview a witness who admitted to running drugs before. Being deported four or five times.
An alleged witness, by the way. You don't even know he was actually a witness, do you?
Yeah, well, and that therein lies the rub.
Okay.
Because the manner in which this interview took place that the detective testified to is so out of the ordinary that the defense is now claiming, look, this is a story concocted by cartels. And the prosecution played into it. The investigation played into it. They propped up some witness to say this was the story. But it just... Denise, what was the term that we used? We were talking about just doesn't pass what
the smell to it test.
Yes.
But you know what? More importantly, who is going to be on trial here? It's going to be the sheriff.
It is.
The sheriff is going to be on trial, and the prosecution that's relying on that sheriff is going to be on trial.
Yeah, because it's odd. It is very odd. For the defense, in the defense case in chief, to call the sitting sheriff as a witness for the defense, especially knowing that the sheriff is given an interview on YouTube saying, oh, yeah, this guy just wanted to shoot some Mexicans and so you know what he thinks about George Allen Kelly.
That's one, but I think even more importantly, is it a ruse to cover up cartel activity in his county?
You know,
that's going to be the biggest question. Is the sheriff on the take?
Is he pristine in this matter? Right. Good question. Good.
I would expect questions to him coming. Sheriff, why is it that the cartel seems to use the border with your county as the place where they will cross?
Their mules are crossing and getting killed.
How many arrests have you made? How long have you lived here? You know how long that sheriff has family has lived in that area?
Many moons, I would guess.
Since the 1800s.
Wow.
You know what that reminded me of when I heard that? He's in law enforcement, goes back generations in that area. Reminded me of Alex Murdaugh in South Carolina.
This is how we've always done things.
Glad you said that. This is how we've always done things. Now, I'm telling you right now, we started off this show talking about the O.J. case, talking about O.J. Simpson for a little bit. What did I say the value was of the O.J. Simpson case?
It broke the "this is how we've always done things"
That's right. Spell. Right. It put him under the microscope. What is going on up in Moscow, Idaho right now? The defense on a high-profile case is saying, I want to challenge the way we've always done things, what your affidavits say, this assumptions you make. What is happening? We're not going to talk about this much, but what's happening down in Santa Fe, New Mexico with the Alec Baldwin case? The way they've always done things, the common thread here is that in the case of Arizona, Santa Fe, and Moscow, Idaho, it's jurisdictions that aren't used to having their investigations put under the microscope by a high-profile case Because when that happens, you start to see the cracks in the pavement, the cracks in their investigatory foundation, if you will.
That's like shining a black light on something and looking for cracks or looking for some kind of residue, and all of a sudden you go, whoa, what's this?
Pro tip, don't shine a black light in your teenage son's bedroom. So I just...
Duly noted.
Duly noted. But, but yeah, I mean, it is...
That was a visual.
Yeah, well, there you go. Guilty.
Kind of the point, yeah.
Exactly. But that's what these jurisdictions are going to have to deal with.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is, in the case of Pullman and Santa Fe and Arizona, you're not bringing in these high-profile, out-of-county attorneys to do this. This is all being conducted by attorneys who have been in and around the same system for years and are like, finally, I got a case where I can, you know, blow the lid off of something I have suspected was going on for a long time.
Much like Johnny Cochran did with OJ.
Yeah, because he was local.
Right.
He knew what it was like. And so, yeah, we'll see how this one goes. You know, we're coming up on our, we're finishing 2 hours here. Holy Toledo.
Crazy.
What do you think about the case to our listeners? What do you think? Do you have an opinion about law enforcement investigation? If you do, give us a call. 855-529-7234. 855-529-7234. We're coming up on the break. You want to give us a call? Let Cal know what you think. We'd be happy to discuss that. We don't give legal advice, but I am curious to know your opinion. Don't go away. We got one more hour of Radio Law Talk left.
You are listening to Radio Law Talk on many amazing radio stations all across the country. And many of you are listening on RadioLawTalk.com as well, and we thank you for doing so. Some of you listen via delay. That's all right. We post our shows usually by Saturday night or Sunday. You can listen to the last week's broadcast as a podcast at your leisure. The most important thing is that you listen to Radio Law Talk.
Remember, Radio Law Talk is available 9 to noon Pacific every Saturday, live on RadioLawTalk.com and on many radio stations coast to coast.
You found Radio Law Talk.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated.